who made the king mad. The nobody who refused the king what he wanted. Father, as I tell the story tonight, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. Help us in Jesus' name. There's a story about a man by the name of Naboth. Who remembers Naboth? He was a farmer or a gardener or a vineyard keeper, and he had a beautiful vineyard right outside of the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. The Bible says that Ahab one day looked out and decided that he'd like to have that garden, that vineyard. And so he went out and he approached Naboth and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want your vineyard. It's near to my property. I look out my window every morning and see it. I want to put a herb garden there. I'd like to have your vineyard. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a better vineyard. He said, now, if you don't want a better vineyard, he said, I'm going to pay you money. Well, what it's worth. And the Bible said, Naboth said, God forbid that I would sell my inheritance. And Ahab went in the house. The king went to bed, threw him a fit like a six-year-old. Said, I ain't going to eat. His chef said, we're going to have filet mignon tonight. Green beans smothered with onions. Baked potatoes. Lots of sour cream. Strawberry shortcake for dessert. He said, I don't want any of it. Because I can't have my vineyard. The Bible said he refused to eat. Messed his face all up, got mad, laid in the bed, and he's married to a beautiful woman. I saw Melba one time. She had on this shirt, and it had 25 or 30 different paint smears all over the front of it. And I said, what in the world, Melba? And then I read it said on there, I ran in the Tammy Faye in the mall. And that's what this lady looked like. Her name was Jezebel. And this is a real woman. And she walked into the bedroom, and here old Ahab laid up in the bed, mad, crying, bawling, squalling. And she said, what's wrong with you? He said, I talked to Naboth today about that piece of ground out there, and I wanted it and offered him land for it. I offered him a good price for it, and he wouldn't take it. And she said, go eat supper. Filet mignon's getting cold. I'll get you that. And she went out and connived. And she had the men of the city, and she wrote letters, and she took his stamp and put on the letters. Took the king's stamp, put them on the letters, wrote the letters, and sent them out. And said, I want you to have the men of the city come, and I want you to hold court. And I want you to put Naboth up in the middle of them. And he said, I want you to get two of the biggest liars in town. And this is what I want you to coach them to say. I want you to coach them to say that he blasphemed the God of Israel, and he blasphemed the king. And so they had a court, and they set Naboth in the middle of it, and two sons of Belial, two liars, came in, and the light on him said he blasphemed the God of Israel, and that he had blasphemed the king. They found him guilty as charged, which was a farce. Never was supposed to do it that way. There was a procedure for the court, but they went beyond the procedure because they wanted to please this woman called Jezebel. And they took him out, the Bible said, they stoned him. And he died. It's a sad story. Never you mind, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay him. She went back home and said, hey, Naboth, now I told you I'd get you that, or Ahab, I told you I'd get you that vineyard. Naboth is dead. Go out there and claim that ground. He went out there and he looked through that thing and he called him one of these horticulturists, is that what you call them? Out there, one of these landscapers, and he had him meet him out there, and he said, you know, I want over here, I want these kind of bushes over here, and I want them kind of bushes over there, and I want these flowers right here, and I want a herb garden here, and I want something else over there. He's just having himself a time, and all of a sudden, an old man of God came on the grounds and met him and told him what he had done. And he said, the dogs that licked up the blood of Naboth will lick your blood at the same wall. You're going to die, sir. And he said, I'm cutting off your posterity. And he said, Jezebel will be eaten by dogs. She is going to be turned into Alpo. And the dogs are going to eat her. He bawled and squalled and cried, and you know God's a merciful God. And God said, you're going to die, but the judgment I'll send in your son's reign rather than in yours. But if you read the story, the very thing that the man of God said happened. Now I want you to understand this. The vineyard was the most picturesque vineyard in all of Israel. Naboth constantly attended to it, its requirements. For it represented all of the best of his life. It was the inheritance of his fathers. His father, his father's father, and his grandfather had all worked this vineyard. It was important to him. According to the commandments of Moses, this was never to be sold. Only under dire circumstances of destitution, utter, total destitution, was it to be sold. And then, in the year of Jubilee, it came back to Naboth and his family. Because God said the inheritance was important. Said it was important. Now I want you to know that there was an Ahab made an offer, and it was a suggestion that was scorned. Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard. This meant he could increase his personal wealth. He could look better in the eyes of his neighbor. He could buy him a motorhome. I saw a motorhome today on television that you could drive on the lake, Lee. I couldn't believe it. I saw that thing driving on the lake, and I had to turn up the volume on the TV. I thought, that guy, that idiot, just drove that $200,000 motorhome in the lake. But somebody built a motorhome. I mean, one of them great big fancy motorhomes, as long as this church is wide, and you could drive it on water. This man was offered enough money to buy that motorhome and anything else he wanted, but he wouldn't sell out. You say, what's the point? This is the point. Very simple. I want you to get it like the fat man going through the barbed wire fence. I want you to get this point. He wouldn't give up his inheritance. I want you to know we have an inheritance. Hallelujah. We have a Pentecostal heritage handed down through the sweat and tears and torture, if you please, of Pentecostal preachers down through the years. They've been egged. They've been made fun of. They've been laughed at before. Talking in tongues became popular. But they wouldn't give up, thank God. They wouldn't quit because somebody didn't like glossolalia. You know, when they began to name it, all those wonderful names, it got a little more tolerable to people because most of the people didn't know what it was they were talking about. Someone asked me the other day, he said, what kind of a preacher are you? I said, I was under the lake out fishing. And a man said, well, what kind of preacher are you? I said, well, I'm a Protestant preacher. I'm not Catholic. I'm Protestant. He said, well, that's good. I said, you know what Protestant is? He said, yeah. I said, well, let me give you a little clearer. I'm Pentecostal. You know what that is? Well, he said, I've heard of that. I said, I'm a holy roller. He stepped back about three times and said, I got to go check on my wife. We have a heritage, a Pentecostal heritage, and the church is in danger of losing the Pentecostal heritage. She couldn't have sang a better song tonight. I couldn't have heard a better song than John sang. That song the choir sang, all of them points to the fact of who he is and what he's done and the inheritance we have. And no amount of money, no amount of prestige. It's not for saints. My Pentecostal heritage is not for sale. Hallelujah. Not only is it not for sale, it's not to be bargained with. It's not to be used as a chip to make us popular. It's not to be used as something. You say, Brother Cantor, the building isn't full tonight. No, and it never will be. When you try to get folks to live right. When you're Pentecostal, I'll tell you what, the world doesn't like that. The rapture, the Bible says few they'll be defined. And you know what, folks are going to be surprised. They said, you know, people are going to be there you didn't think were there. That's probably true. But there's going to be a lot of people not there that you thought would be there. They sold out to the devil. They sold out everything that they had. They want to look good in the eyes of other men. We want too much the popularity of men. Let me tell you something. It's fading. I know men that have sold their birthright to get to be the presbyter or to get to be in high office. And for a little while, they shined like the sun. But it wasn't long until there was a new star arise. And when that star arose, they lost their influence. I called one of our dear old superintendents on the telephone. And I said, you remember me? He said, I sure do. I remember you. Brother Tommy. That's what they used to call me at Berea. Brother Tommy. I remember you. And I said, you remember? It's been now almost 40 years. And I sat in your class, and I heard him hesitate on the other end of the line. He said, I remember. I said, I want to say thank you for what you said. And I told him something that he said that changed my life. That changed my life. I was pastoring a little old church that didn't have any money. We couldn't make the bills. We couldn't do anything. I was trying my best. I mean, the most we ever had was 70. And the Sunday I worked my literal fingers to the bone to get 72, I think, people there. And just got the record by one person. I actually had people in that church that were saying, if we hit our record, it'd be my last Sunday. I'm going to quit. And I thought, Lord, if you knew that, why didn't you let us not make the record? I mean, it's hard. It was a hard job. We just couldn't make ends meet. And I paid all the bills and did everything that there was to do, paid the light bill, paid everything there was to pay. I was a cup painter at that time, making pretty good money. As a cup painter, wouldn't be long until I'd be a journeyman. And I was making good money for back then. It wasn't anything like all the thousands of dollars you folks make, but I was making pretty good money back then. $150 a week. It's good money. I went to his class, and I heard him say, boys, If they don't pay you first, God will never bless that church. Man, I heard that. I said, I can't believe he said that. Sir, anybody can say that. He's got 500 members in his church. Lives out here in Frontenac. Tell me that. He ought to be down there where I am. He's looking at them same old 32 every Sunday. Ain't enough money in that church. Ought to buy the communion bread. He said, you have to tell them to pay you first. And I was just dumb enough to go in there that Sunday morning, and boy, I said, I paid my last light bill, and I spent the last dime of this church on anything, but you're going to pay me. I don't know what you want to pay me, but you better decide what you want to pay me, because I'm going to get mine first from now on, because I heard a man of God say God wouldn't bless a church unless they paid the preacher, God wouldn't bless him. I said, you're going to pay me now. That's it, boy. Hallelujah. That's the church that come up to him. Well, what do you think you're worth? I said, well, I don't know. They said, well, we're going to give you a percentage. I said, well, that's all right with me. It's better than what I'm getting now. And they gave me a percentage. And I mean, within a month, my percentage, what I was bringing home was so much money that I had to tell that little board that I had, you fellas better lay some back for a rainy day. Don't give me that big check now at the end of the week. Because I was drawing down $250, $300 a week, and they were paying every light bill. They were paying every bill because of a man of God that wouldn't give up his teaching or his training. He was sitting before a bunch of young preachers, and he said, I'm going to tell them the truth. Hallelujah. And because of Nelson Sachs telling me the truth. I remember the day we bought this building and old Nelson Sachs came over here and walked on this platform. He said, it's an awful big church for such a little preacher. I said, I'm planning on gaining weight. And I did. Amen. A few years later, somebody made a complaint to me and they called Nelson Sachs and said, we don't like what he's doing. They said, hey, leave him alone. I said, just leave him alone. And I remembered those things. And I called him and thanked him for his heritage. I tell you, you might once shine. And you know what he said to me? Nobody calls me anymore. Nobody asks my advice anymore. My head's been in a nobody. You remember that. Keep your Christian heritage. Don't shut out for the popularity of the day. Keep on the firing line. I might not be known for the biggest church in town, but I am known for a man that's kept the way. Amen. Kept the way. He said, I'm not selling out. He said, I'm not selling out. But this vineyard was his inheritance from his father. No amount of material gain could ever compensate for the loss of his paradise. His answer, the Lord forbid it me if I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. You know, we don't have much in this church to hand down, but we have a Pentecostal heritage. Don't be so concerned about them being this America. Be concerned they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be concerned that everybody at school thinks they're cool. I'll tell you what, that'll fade. But oh, to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's what counts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It paid off, Lily. Fred's robots. Get up. Make his way to the altar. You boys, as mean as a striped spider, end all the mischief in the world. But when he moved to that altar, wherever you were sitting all over this church, you got there with him. He gave you a heritage. What are you giving your kids? What are you giving your kids? We need to give them a heritage about God. Don't give up. It's God's. It's our Father's. We'll ask, where is the God of Elijah? Where are the miracles? Where are the dedicated saints? Where's the old-time conviction? Where's the anointed singers and the anointed preachers? Where are the faithful church members? Where are the young people full of the Holy Ghost? Where are the standards of the church? I'm telling you, the church today seems to be so neutral on every position that there is. There's no longer a church that has any position. Instead of someone coming in and saying, what do you believe? We first say, now, what do you believe? And they'll tell us what they believe. We'll say, well, we're just about pretty close to that. Come on in, join us. We're so hungry for a crowd. We're so hungry to fill up our pews. We need another tither in the church. It doesn't make any difference. Let me tell you something. We got people that are homosexuals in Assemblies of God churches. We got social drinkers in Assemblies of God churches. Come on. We got tobacco users in Assemblies of God churches. This city is full of churches, full of folks that I'm telling you, 20 years ago, the superintendent would have rolled over in his grave. Come on. Hallelujah. You couldn't. We have sold out the birthright. You know, young people want something to stand for. We need to give them something worth fighting for. Tell you what, you don't have to look like that world. You don't have to dress like that world. Come on. If we want to dress like the world, we want to wear our pants down to our knees. Come on. Tell you what, if I'd have did that, my mother would have wore out the broomstick onto my head. We'll let everything go on now because they want to be cool. And you know, we don't want them to be oddballs. What did Jesus say? We're peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know how I want our kids to be oddballs? They hit the altar and bawl and squall and they pray all night. I want to be able to carry these young people out to the car. Hallelujah. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to see them fall out in the Spirit of God and have the reality of God and come up and say, Pastor, I feel called to preach. You know, we have a young lady here who's thinking about going to Central Bible College, and I don't know whether she's going to go or not, but she's been accepted and to Evangel College. And I don't know what God is doing in her life, and I don't call you, my dear little one. I don't call you. I held you in my arms. Your daddy can't call you, but God called you. I want you to know you've got this preacher and this church behind you 100%, and if God calls you to Africa, you don't have to worry about money. We'll raise it and send you there. Nick called me a few weeks ago and wanted to go to Argentina. He said, it's going to cost me $1,600. I don't know how to ask people for money. I said, well, you're going to have to learn how to do that. I said, you don't have to ask anybody. Just tell me what you want. He said, well, $1,600 for 2 months. I said, I'll raise it for you as much as I can. And I had every confidence that we'd give him $1,600. We could get it on a Sunday morning in 5 minutes. Who couldn't give $100 to send somebody to a field? See, they're part of us. He called back and said, Brother Tanner, it's so much money that it's going to be a lot more money. We've decided that we're not going to go until a later date. And I've talked to Nick. And I heard his testimony a few weeks ago. He told about how stubborn he was and how his daddy had to whip the fire out of him. How he was. And I've told Nick before, and I'm not telling you anything I hadn't told Nick. I said, Nick, I didn't think you'd make it. I thought, Ben, if there's anybody that's called himself, you called yourself, buddy. I said, every time you'd get up, you'd stumble over your tongue. You'd try to say something that didn't half make sense. But I said, you know what? God's done something for you, son. He's touched your life. He's touched your life. And I said, I want to promise you something. I will be true to you. If you call me and tell me something that's going on down there, if I don't think it's right, I'm going to tell you it's not right. You better watch out. You know what he said? He cried over the phone. He said, Brother Carter, I want you to tell me. That's Christian heritage. Amen. I want to be told. I said, you might not always agree. I want to be told. Hallelujah. And they'll call me and tell me what's going on. I'll say, you better stay away from that one now, buddy. Don't do that. You'll not win anything like that. You go on, follow that path a while. You'll fall flat on your face and you'll see you didn't produce anything. And if we're not producing something now, it's because we've left the heritage. Amen. What we preach here produced something. And if we change the message to mimic the times, we will lose what we once had. God forbid that I'd give you my inheritance. God forbid. God forbid. What is our inheritance? The church. The church. The church. The church. You ought to never let anybody say anything bad about your church. I don't care. Someone said, well, it's the truth, so what? Don't you say anything bad about my church. I love my mother with all my heart. But I told her, don't you ever say anything bad about my church. Preachers come to this pulpit and they preach. And they don't say anything nice about this church. I can't wait for them to get off this parking lot. I can't hear what they're saying for the fact that they didn't say something nice about this church. This is our life. It ought to be your life. We ought to give our lives for it. We ought to be concerned about it. Someone said you're too stinking picky about everything. Oh, this is the house of God. I said, this is God's house. This is our inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We ought to protect it. Glory to God. You ought to watch who you put in the pulpit. Come on. You know, there's 1,000 people we can get to come. There's a lot of folks that would come and like to preach. You know, it's a small little old crowd tonight. But you know, in most of them, they got churches, they don't have half that size. And they had 300 or 400 maybe this morning. I mean, people don't come out. You even take Brownsville. It has totally done away with Sunday night. The great revival ended up a Sunday morning service. At least they do go longer than 12 o'clock. If I go over 12 o'clock, it looks like the rats are moving out. They can go a little longer, but whatever happened to Sunday night? Come on, whatever happened? All over the city, churches are dark tonight. They got all of God they wanted on Sunday morning. They got all they needed on Sunday morning. They got folks that you come on out this morning, tonight you can go to the movies. Tonight you can have a barbecue. Tonight you can go watch the Cardinals play ball. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Where is the hunger for God? Where is the hunger for God when people come to church and say, I'm not shut out anything. Used to, if I would mention the fact that we're going to dismiss service on a night, people have a fit. You know what? We had such a blow-up about not having a watch night service, and you, many of you thought that it made me mad. It made me glad. I just had to do what he told me to do. He told me to take charge of the thing. That's what I want you to do. And I did it. Care if it hair lift the whole bunch. I did it. I didn't like it. I didn't want it. The devil said, go somewhere else. I said, I ain't going anywhere else. Can't go to mine. I ain't going nowhere. You didn't want me to have service. You don't want me anywhere but right here. I said, what are we going to do next time? We're going to have one. But she tells me different. Have church on Christmas. Come on. I mean, there's a holiday. Some people would let out on 9/11 if it fell on Sunday. Come on. Looking for a time. They both said, you're not buying my vineyard. And you're not giving me anything for it. It's my vineyard. The Lord's Day is the day to go to church. I mean, it's the day to go to church all day long. The Word of God. Somebody said, I don't like the Word of God. Some fellow went to one of the executive officers who pastors the church and told him, said, brother, you're all wet now. Said, you need to rearrange this service because we don't have enough time for our worship. And said, you take all the time up preaching the Word of God. And he said, I think that we ought to just adjust this thing where we have more time for our worship and less time for you. You've been preaching in this church forever and ever. Not that you're not a good preacher. You're a good preacher. But I just wonder, you know what he said? He said, hit the road, Jack! Out of here, buddy! The Word of God takes preeminence over over everything. It used to be, thus saith the word. Now it's, thus saith my opinion on the word. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to get the point. The great love of eternal realities. We used to love the message of His coming. We used to shout, amen. And I'll tell you what, we got super glued attached to our derrieres. Now, you know what? I'm getting older. And I don't want to stand up all the time either. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, you need to get out of your seat and honor Him. Amen. You say, well, there's somebody else think I'll stand up, then a whole bunch will stand up. That's all right. They were singing, how can you hardly keep your seat in that choir? I'll tell you how. We glued ourselves down. How could you stop from jumping when John Potter was singing? Some of us finally did move when Teresa got to singing, but she had to sing it four times to get us out of our seat. I wish I had the pew wired with 220. Michael! Wire me something, will you? I'll stop on that. If I could just have four people wired, shock you, you'd be up. You know, it might, you know, it used to be if one jumped, they all jumped. Come on. Amen. People used to get underneath the spout loop. How many of you ever gone fishing? You know there is protocol and ethics in fishing. If you're catching fish and it's your spot, and nobody else is supposed to come over there in your spot, I'm catching fish here. And I don't like it if I'm catching fish here and I have to go to the bathroom and I get back everybody and his brothers in my spot. You move over there in their spot. Oh, that we could do that. Hey, the Holy Ghost gets moving over here. Somebody just go over and get over there. I said, I'll take a little bit of that. The Holy Spirit starts moving back here. Somebody run over there and get that. It wouldn't be long till the Holy Spirit be moving everywhere. Come on, somebody say amen. Eternal reality. He got stoned. Nabal died. You say, oh, Brother Kenner, if it's so great, how come we're having such a struggle? Let me tell you something. He didn't say that it wouldn't be a struggle. He said, hang on, endure to the end. But as the stones were rained down upon Nabal, he died with a clear conscience. When he met his father, he said, Daddy, I didn't sell our vineyard. Old King Ahab has it, but I didn't sell it to him. He offered me enough money to buy a motorhome that floats. He offered me a condo out there on those snow-covered slopes of Colorado. He offered me a round-the-world trip on a cruise ship with everything paid for. He offered me everything. He said he'd give me the best farm in Kentucky with the blue grass waving in the wind and the wild horses and stallions that galloping across the field. But, Daddy, I didn't sell my inheritance. I didn't sell it. I'm here, but I didn't sell it. I didn't sell it. His conscience was clear. His heart was at rest. I want to tell you folks tonight, you're looking at a man that's getting older. And I realize there's been times, folks, you just wish I'd pass on. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got to leave something behind for this church. So you make us feel bad. I want you to feel bad. So you make me, I want to hide myself, how I act. I want you to hide yourself. We need conviction again. We need some conviction. Come on. In the house of God. The end of Ahab, he met Elijah in the vineyard. That he sold himself for lost its joy. Let me tell you something, young lady. You might sell yourself to that young man because he's the head of the football team. Because every other girl in the school has let him. And he says, now nobody refuses me. But if you sell out, you've made a bad bargain. He said, they'll call me a fool. Let them call you a fool. I'd rather be called a fool than act foolishly. Amen. Young man, they might offer you a drink or a dope. Some guy might say, I got a car, let's get in it. You know, I see the senseless lives that are lost. You remember the policeman that was killed out on 370 that leads out to St. Charles? Those two policemen had a head-on collision. I went by the other day, and they got a big old memorial to him saying, we miss you, we miss you, we miss you. Let me tell you something, those were two county cops. And they were doing something that they should not have been doing because it was impossible for them to have an accident on that road. I mean, a four-lane highway, and they were one going one direction, one going the other direction. In four lanes, I could have missed somebody. And I said, what a foolish thing. We have a little curve down by our house, and kids were killed there. In the car, and it was because they were doing something foolish. One night, the lights got to flashing next door. I looked out the window, and I went out there and walked around the corner of the house, and here's a young man dead. His car rolled up against the house next door, and I said, what happened? One of the boys that didn't get killed said, you know, we were coming down that big hill, and we wanted to see if we could jump it. And when we jumped it, we turned sideways and bounced and clipped the telephone pole and rolled over and over and over and over and over. And some mom and daddy cried and bawled and squalled. And I tell you what, I wish they were killed somewhere else because I'm sick of a memorial. Candles being lit, lights and pictures all the time, flowers they're putting there on that rock. I tell you what, instead of that, why don't we teach our kids some responsibility? Come on, teach them how to drive. Parks, teach mine how to drive. I'm too old. Let them wreck your car. You're young enough to make more money. But teach them something. Teach them something. When you put your kid in a car, you must have confidence that you put something in him or in her. Accidents can always happen. But you don't have to run off the road and into a tree. And you kids don't need to be getting into cars because somebody's got a car. Amen? I tell mine, he said, oh, can we get a ride home with, you know, he's a good boy. I don't care how good he is. I don't want my kids riding with anybody I don't know if they can't drive. Come on. He said, that's tough. And the church needs to be just that tough. In gaining a vineyard, Ahab lost his soul. Naboth lost his vineyard, but preserved his honor. He was a shrewd businessman. My folks, I love you. But we've got to have a Pentecostal heritage. We've got to let Pentecost reign in this church. We've got to get back to a standard. Amen. We can't let folks do what they want to do. If we let the world do it, they'll be in here in everything you can name. And you know what? That won't make the crowd grow any bigger either. Not at all. Unless we switch the whole gospel to a social club. Come on. They like that. But they don't like the truth. Naboth said, you can't have my vineyard. I serve a notice on the devil. You can't have my vineyard. You can't have my family. You can't have my church. You can't have my standards. You can't have the Word of God. You can't have my church. You can't. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. I think we need to pray about this sermon. When you come, just rush on down here. Everybody, just get on down here. I've said some eternal truths tonight. The eternal God, our Heavenly Father. The devil's bought any vineyard he wants to. He's offered wealth and fame, popularity, but it's all waned. Lord, I want to lay my head on my pillow at night and know that I've been true to you. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. God, let me not lose that hunger and that desire